And so
it is my pleasure today to tell you that we have four amazing speakers who will tell you what they do to reach that place of balance in their lives. We can all be challenged to deepen one or more of the existing spiritual aspects of our everyday lives. First, Brian George will speak on music.
Good morning, everyone. I've addressed this could you turn me down just a hair there? Please, thank you. I've addressed this congregation on many occasions. I've had the privilege to share my words and the words of ministers, friends, and family members whose views of our relationship with the divine have touched, moved, and inspired me into a greater existence than I would have otherwise. Those words have, to borrow a phrase, given me the gift of God. But you all know I'm not here to talk about the value of words in religious experience. Words have a place in shaping a relationship with the divine, but they are not enough. It is no accident that most religious traditions weave music into worship, since music, as an art form, expresses how we experience the divine in ways that go beyond our ability to think and speak. Johann Sebastian Bach, whose music you heard this morning, besides being a gifted composer, was also a Lutheran cantor, deeply invested in the theology of music. He eloquently noted that, quote, "At a reverent performance of music, God is always at hand with his gracious presence." While that statement might grate at our sensibilities as Unitarian Universalists, uncomfortable with the notion that God is a he, who is at hand with his gracious presence, consider the statement in a larger context. Unitarian Universalism rejects that the divine can be neatly transcribed in sacred texts that are eternal and cannot be questioned or revised. We instead embrace the notion that the divine is transcendent, is found by reading between the lines of sacred texts, is found by fusing the common wisdom into a larger understanding that can unite rather than divide humanity in its search for truth beyond understanding. Music is a natural vehicle to do this work. And in a reverent performance, there is indeed a gracious presence at hand. I've been a musician most of my life. Piano, choir, madrigal, trombone, rock bass, bluegrass bass, I've tried them all. Rock bass stuck, by the way, and so did choir. I even tried my hand at classical singing. After that miserable experience, I thought I was done singing. It was not until I found this congregation that I very slowly, started to find my voice, and continue to do so to my spiritual benefit, and I hope yours too. I find my voice to express the divinity of music in David's secret chord. You know, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. I find my voice to express the power of social justice. Most recently yesterday, when I watched the March for Our Lives, and the first thing that came to my mind, come on, sing it with me. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can lend a hand, for the times, they are a-changing. But I especially find my voice here in the simple fact that our spiritual journeys are not solo affairs, that we need each other to be whole. And so I leave you with. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be
gonna need somebody to lean on.
Thank you.
I will try. Oh, and now we have a musical interlude, so it's possible, yes. Beautiful, thank you. Before I introduce the reading, I want to say it came from this book, Everyday Spiritual Practice, and it is edited by Scott Alexander, whose quote is on the cover of your order of service. And I found it wonderful. There's many, many Unitarian ministers who contributed, including Reverend Wayne. So his talk in here is about monasticism and Zen monasticism, so you can speak to him about that sometime. I'm sure he'd love talking about it. The section on art by Julie Ann Silberman also applies to writing. For me, spirituality is not about separating myself from my life. It is about getting more deeply in touch with the sacred in my daily living. Human life is sacred. Therefore, what we do and how we fill our lives is sacred. So when you are doing ordinary things, tap into the sacred. Listen to your soul. Use that to make your art. We will now hear from Susan Rees, who will speak on writing. Susan.
So one Sunday, our intern minister, John Monroe, shared some haiku he'd written following some time he'd spent in the outdoors. So it was clear to me that his spiritual practice incorporated both his love of nature and his love of writing. Sorry about my voice. Writing has long been my way of connecting my feelings with the world around me, whether those feelings are love, joy, sadness, or sometimes outrage. But I'm hardly an intellectual with deep thoughts, so let me clear that up right away. I have to admit I've written some pretty goofy poems about things like cheese, underwear, and a stop sign. So for me, I think fun and laughter has a place in the universe too, an important place. But for me, poetry has the power to express simple ideas beautifully and complex ideas simply. So I love the simplicity and beauty of haiku. And that's why I loved hearing John's. So I want to share a haiku by Matsuo Basho that reminds me of my childhood in Florida. In the twilight rain, these brilliant hued hibiscus, a lovely sunset. So he looked at hibiscus instead of saying, oh, aren't they pretty? He compared them to a sunset. And growing up in Florida, we have spectacular hibiscus, spectacular sunsets, and some spectacular rain. On the other side of the spectrum, there's another poet, James Cruz, who says of the poetry on his website, I hope the poems will help light the way for anyone on the spiritual path, even if you don't consider yourself religious or spiritual, since I believe that a world with a lot of poetry in it is a much better place. And I couldn't find specifically in his bio that he's a UU. Somebody may know that. But that seemed like a pretty UU sentiment. And also, he calls his website the Singing Bowl. So that leads me to believe that he might be. So here's his poem, God Particles. I could almost hear their soft collisions on the cold air today, but when I came in, shed my layers, and stood alone by the fire, I felt them float toward me like spores flung far from their source, having crossed miles of oceans and fields unknown to most, just to keep my body fixed to its place on the earth. Call them God if you must, these messengers that bring hard evidence of what I once was and where I have been, filling me with bits of stardust, whale skin, goose down from the pillow where Einstein once slept, tucked in his cottage in New Jersey, dreaming of things I know I'll never see. So God has long been kind of a hazy concept to me, but I'm glad I found this place where I found out it's okay if you don't fully understand it or you have kind of a hazy concept. But when my daughter was born, I was so amazed that I, the most ordinary person in the world, could have given birth to the most beautiful baby ever in the history of the world. So clearly somebody needed to be thanked. And I decided that I would offer a prayer of thanks to God. And it remains to this day the truest prayer I have ever given. However, my spirituality has been neglected. And if a life can be considered a garden, then my spirituality was the long-neglected plant in the garden of my life. There were so many others to keep, if not thriving, at least surviving. And all of you who have jobs, family, you know, understand. But a few years ago, I felt the need to go searching for that plant. And then I found a way to nourish it through this congregation. I hope that it will continue to grow and that someday it may blossom with the only gift I have to offer, my humble written words, since I'm not very good at art and I have zero musical talent. But I hope that others might find in those words kindness, compassion, love, and laughter. And when I'm no longer here to gather those word blossoms myself, my hope is that their seeds will be gathered by the wind and then fall like alleluia stars into nearby gardens where they might take root. I hope that others may someday find joy in them. And if some small part of me still exists somewhere in the cosmos, perhaps in that space between the stars, I will listen for a word someone might speak for me. And the word I hope to hear is Amen.
That's beautiful poetry, and thank you, Susan, so much. Another reading is a poem, more or less, by Thich Nhat Hanh, and it relates to nature. Around us, life bursts forth with miracles, a glass of water, a ray of sunshine, a leaf, a caterpillar, a flower, laughter, raindrops. If you live in awareness, it is easy to see miracles everywhere. And now we have Bob Brown, who will connect us to nature and in his speech. So thank you. Welcome, Bob.
Good day.
Good day.
Hey, prior to joining this church, every Sunday, a friend of mine, Andrea, and I go hiking, and we called it our church. It is spiritual. You have to get out there to see it. But there's one thing, us doing that, this is a community. So this is wonderful. We would walk, sometimes talk, sometimes not. The times we're not talking, you're just going through thoughts. We live in a concrete jungle here. We're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. It's a good escape. Very pleasant. I mean, we do enough, and we hear enough, we read enough, but the outdoors is marvelous. There was a, I'm just going to give you a couple short stories about some of the hiking that I've done. There was one time Andre and I were hiking. We weren't talking. And we came across one big load of bear scat. And it had to have been a big bear. So we're both looking around. So she was a little afraid. So instead of not talking, she started whistling because she wanted to give the bear a little warning ahead of time. It's nice to be without a cell phone. Most of the hiking I've done, and I've been hiking for over 30 years. I worked the trail for 7 years in Shenandoah National Park. Cell phone didn't work. That's actually a blessing in some instances. Now, I did have somebody that was keeping track of my time because I couldn't keep contact. So if something were to happen. But not having your cell phone and being outdoors is very nice. There was one hike, it's a little double stairs. And I've done this hike all the time, and it was my favorite hike. You crisscross, you go uphill, and you crisscross 12 times across the stream. And the stream's usually not that big. I mean, usually you just step on a rock. One day, I got out there by myself, and it was flooded. I mean, it was totally flooded. I almost turned around because I was just like, there's no way. But then I decided to give in. I'm going to get myself wet. I didn't have spare clothes. So I crisscrossed this thing 12 times up to my waist in water. It was just giving in. It was just being back with nature. It was just getting away from here, not just church. But from here. I have not found too many people that are hiking that are not content. Some of the nicest people. I mean, everybody is just like so nice. I'd be working the trail, people would be walking down, thanking me. Even dogs. There's one time I'm coming down this fire road, and I'm rounding a corner, and I see this dog, tiny dog, and it has this red pack on its back. I don't see anybody behind the dog. So my mind's like, what is this dog doing? How can it do it? Apparently the people were like 200 yards back, and the dog was just having fun and hanging up, but it was a nice moment. Made me think for a little bit. One last thing. Appalachian Trail goes through Shenandoah National Park. By the way, it's rated the best park. Appalachian Trail goes from Maine to Georgia. It gets rated high. I was on the Appalachian Trail, and I came across, I was looking down, I was just like, what is that? It was a bag of oodle of noodles with a rock on it and a note. There's through hikers that do the whole trail. They take months. Somebody knew they must have met up the previous night or something. But the person left the oodles of noodles for the guy coming up. And you have to understand, you can't carry a lot when you're hiking months on the Appalachian Trail. So any small thing like that is wonderful. So there's good people out there that are hiking. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
What a nice segue into this discussion of exercise, melodic repetition with explosive force. Yeah, okay. This morning I wish to share with you some of my enthusiasm for exercise and a particular system of exercise called Pilates, which is named for its creator, Joseph Pilates, although he didn't call it that, he called it Controlology. And Pilates aims at keeping your mind in tune as well as keeping your body fit. And so it's an elision of mind and body. And I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about my practice and Pilates in general, but it helps me to keep myself mindful in the world, and as well as keeping me fit in a way that I've never been before. So what I'd like to do with you is lead you in a breathing exercise or meditation that I use with my students, because I teach Pilates, and I use this before a workout, or you could even just do this independently, and it helps the mind to focus before you do the strenuous work. Now, I'm going to take this this microphone from this side because I'm not sure that you'll be able to hear me without the microphone, but I want to be free of that cord, and I want to be able to stand in front of you. Now, this can be done either seated or standing, so your choice as to how you do this with me, but you'll want a little room next to yourself, so maybe space yourselves apart a little bit so that you can move your arms, because we will get to a part where we're moving our arms. Now, can you hear me when I'm waving this mic around and not just holding it close to my mouth? We'll try, okay? So if you're standing, then think about your heel bone, and think about your big toe joint in your foot, and think about your little toe joint. And you want to have the weight of your body balanced between those three points, so centered, so you're not leaning forwards or backwards on your foot or from side to side, you're not rolling your foot out, because if you're balanced, you have less tension in your body, and it's easier for you to breathe. If you're seated, I want you to think about your pubic bone in the front, and I want you to think about your sit bones that in the back that you're sitting on, and think about balancing your body between those three points so that you can have a more centered feeling in your body. And then I want you, as I'm speaking, I want you to just gently start breathing in through your nose and out through your lips, opening your lips a little bit for that exhale. Just breathing in and breathing out. Okay? And then you can bring your hand to the front of your abdominal wall, just below your ribs here, and the diaphragm, keep breathing, don't stop, keep breathing, okay? And just gentle breathing. And you're going to start to feel the effect of the diaphragm moving if you are touching your abdominal wall. On the inhale, you feel that abdominal wall lift away a little bit, and it's lengthening. The diaphragm is your primary breathing muscle, and as you inhale, the diaphragm flattens out, it lowers a little bit. And that's what's causing that abdominal wall to expand on that inhale. And now on your exhale, you're feeling the abdominal wall draw in a little bit in the center. Yeah. And inhale, and exhale again, just to feel that. And on that exhale, the diaphragm is returning to its original dome shape. It has a dome shape underneath the ribs. It's a big circular muscle. Keep breathing. Might think of it looking a little bit like a sea urchin, you know, as it returns to its dome shape there. And then you can start to put your hand on the big ribs here. So above your waist, feeling those big ribs. And now you can take your hand off the front. You've already got that effect. You understand that. And now you can inhale. You're feeling the big ribs move first. You might almost feel like you're breathing more into that side that where your hand is touching the rib. And then exhale. You feel the ribs start to melt towards your waist. It's almost a slippery feeling, like they're sliding into your waist. And that's helping you with that drawing in of the front abdominal wall. Okay, yeah. And then, as you're breathing steadily, the breath feels so inevitable, doesn't it? Think about the seashore. Okay, think about those waves on the seashore as you're breathing. Just keeping that breath nice and steady. And imagine the waters receding. That's your inhale. And the exhale is the wave coming onto the shore. Inhale, the breath is gathering force. And exhale, the force is expended on the shore. And then I want you to lengthen your arms at your sides.
And then you're going to just turn your palms forward from the shoulder. Turn the whole arm forward. And then just turn the arm the other way. And turn the arm forward here. And then just reach your arms wide. Inhale. Imagine that you're working to lift the arms. And exhale, press the arms down. And inhale, lift. This air is really heavy and really upper lip. And the air is really thick and you have to press through it. Oh, all that stuff. Inhale, lift. And exhale, press down. Bring your thumbs in front. Lift the arms. And circle the arms around to the sides. Keep the arms slightly in front of the torso. And think about the shoulder blades just sliding on the back of the ribs now. Inhale, circling the arms, and exhale, bringing them down. Go the other way. Open the arms out, and bring the arms down in front. And inhale, keep that breath nice and steady. And just lift to where the shoulders are comfortable. Don't have to go any further than that. And bring your arms down to your sides again. And let's come a little bit inside again. And I want you to give me four little inhales in a row in succession. So inhale, 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 and exhale, breathe out. And inhale, 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 and exhale, breathe out. Now let's reverse that. A steady inhale. Four little bursts. Exhale, 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 exhale. Steady inhale. And exhale, 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 exhale. Thank you. And now you're ready to face the rest of your day with grace or to do a little strenuous exercise. And I'd like to invite Jack Dalby to speak to you about God's problem and the adult REM.